Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. This is Wednesday, the 29th of April, 2020. We're still in the middle of our isolation, our quarantine, our lockdown, just whatever you want to call it. But again, even though we can't see you here in the church, we're with you in spirit and pray that you have a good time in Christ. Not just as we fellowship together around the Word and sing His praises and offer up prayers, but the rest of your days as well. Just keep your eyes upon the Lord, and He will find something for you to do that will keep you more than occupied, and profitably so, during this time. We're going to begin with a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing 173, Love Lifted Me. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, and for the life and health and strength that you have preserved for us, that you've given to us. Thankful also, Lord, that your mercies are new every morning. And Father, I just want to call out the names of all of those that I pray get an opportunity to listen, and those that we know that are finding this time maybe just a little bit more difficult. I pray especially for Ling and Frank and Dr. Shang, and we thank you, Lord, for Dr. Shang's salvation at the beginning of all of this, and pray for many more, maybe not in Bethel, Lord, but at least in the world. We pray you too for John and for Will, for Christine and Mary Ann. Pray you for Will's work, for William and Rachel, and Reggie, Lord, and wee Lily Ann. Pray you too, Father, for Esther, and a happy birthday to her as well. Pray that you would bless her in this unusual of birthdays, Lord. Pray you too, Father, that you would use her at this time, even now, to speak to her daughters and son, Lord, regarding their eternities. Please bless Christy, Lord, and watch over him as he labours even now and even harder and longer to process the data that is coming in from the many wings of the health service. And pray that there would be a way to use it that will help people and help the country. Remember too Brother Norman at this time, and pray that you would bless him and comfort him and help him. I know he's probably working like nobody's business up at the house. It'll be like a show house by the time he's done. But I pray, Lord, for that infection, that it would be gone and that he would be back on his feet 100%. Remember too Pat and Steve, Lord, and I pray you, Lord, especially today for Keith and Pat, his brother and his brother's wife, Lord, at this time. For Sam and Louise, for Lorna and Philip and Jessica and Thomas, for Holly and Emily and Henry, Lord. Remember too, and I pray I get them all, Marie and Janet and her situation at this particular time. For Edward, pray you too for Noel and Florence, for Anne and Helen. I think I've forgotten one. Forgive me, but the Lord knows who they are. And see of Alfie as well, Lord. Bless and keep John and Carol. I know things are difficult whenever there's nowhere to go and nobody to see. But I pray you, Lord, that you would watch over all of us. And please be with Stephen too at this time. And for the church in the Maboy Road, we pray you, Lord, for Norman and for Noel and Joan. Remember too Terence McLaughlin at this time, that you would reach out and speak to him. For Carol and her mom and dad, Marie and Harry. For Jane and Corey. For their other neighbours. For Stephen and Anne Marie, Lord, for Henry and Evelyn. For Alan Leslie, for Pearl Hetherington, and pray you, Lord, for great salvation for Sally and Sammy and Kate. And pray you be with them at this time. Lord, there are so many others that have the words of life squirreled away in their hearts and minds because of a tract or a shared word or open-air preaching. Lord, you know. I pray that you would use this time to convict souls everywhere of sin and judgment to come, of their need to be saved. And Lord, that you would show yourself to be a great, loving and merciful Saviour. Thank you for loving me and saving me. Thank you, Lord, for bearing me up this past 5 months, my goodness, nearly, for all the prayers that were offered up and for all the answered prayers too. Please be with my dad and Monica's too, and each one of our parents and brothers and sisters and sons and daughters and aunts and uncles, especially with my Aunt Phyllis at this time and her family. Lord, we love you and thank you. We pray all this, Lord, and of course for our many private prayer requests and petitions, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. All right. Amen. 173. Love lifted me. Monica and I are going to serenade you and join in with 173 in the hymn book, Love Lifted Me. And you know the score by now. You can, if at any time we are flying on ahead and you're missing out on catching up on a Bible reference or indeed a song, just press pause on the recording and go there and find it. But don't forget to press play again, because we would really miss you missing the rest of the service. Again, we appreciate Brother Steve's suggestion for our Bible reading. This one this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. There we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Keep flicking those pages. There we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The Word of God said, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offence in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labours, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armour of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honour and dishonour, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Amen. Some powerful verses, some well-known ones, especially verse 2 where it says, now is the accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation. And of course, verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Amen. Thank you for that Bible reading. Just want to take a moment or two and remind you of some of our prayer requests. First of all, please do pray for Mrs. Quigley's family. She went into eternity. I didn't know the lady. Pat believes that she was a Christian lady of many years. It's good enough for me. I pray that her family would follow her into eternity. Please do pray for them as they grieve at this time. Don't forget to pray for each other. I know some of us are still not 100%. I'm still finding out what works for me food-wise and what doesn't. And I'm getting there an inch at a time. Carol, at the far end of the road, very kindly supplied me with a food journal, which I am writing out my meals and how I am managing at the end of the day. So I appreciate that, and I appreciate your prayers for my recovery. Please do pray for Steve. He found he has, I think it's an infection in his leg or legs again, so please pray for that. My auntie Phyllis, whom went into hospital with a suspected ruptured gallbladder, seemingly is out of HDU. I think the antibiotics and painkillers and whatnot seem to be doing their job. They are still a little bit in the dark as to what is actually wrong with her. But please do pray for my Auntie Phyllis. She is either in her very late 70s or early 80s. If you hear this and have got your age wrong, Auntie Phyllis, my apologies. But please do pray for her and her husband Bertie and her sons, my cousins, Robin and Ian, and their families as well. I know it's difficult going, and we're still looking at another week or two of conveniences. So please do keep your head screwed on. Please keep your eyes upon the Lord. Consider the time that you have been gifted with by the world, maybe in an attempt to grind many down, and it has hurt a great many people. But consider that as a gift from God in time that you wouldn't normally have otherwise had to cultivate and to pursue a closer relationship with God. I know I've been doing this maybe for the last, well, Monica was telling me it's nearly 5 months. It will be on the 8th of May. It'll be 5 months since I went into hospital. And I'm still only about a halfway there. I thought, no, I'll be up and going 3 months and I'll be up and down the lane and I'll be doing push-ups and crunches and this, that and the other. And it's not happening, but I have had time to spend a bit more time with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it has been him that has kept me sane whenever I've been wondering what every ache and pain means. So please do pray for me, for my wife who is long-suffering with me, and for you all as well. Don't forget to pray for each other. If in doubt, just close your eyes and in your mind, look around the church and pray for all of those souls that you see there. Don't forget wee Rita as well. She used to be here years ago, but she's not able even to get out of bed. And her two daughters, Elaine and Hilary, they do a sterling job looking after their mom, which is the way it should be. But please do pray for them as well. I'm trying to think, is there anything else? The folks in Maboy Road, the folks that get the CDs, it would be great if we could just fill the church with everyone that got a CD, and whenever this is all said and done. But we understand your circumstances, and we think on you, and we pray for you even now as the current situation in the world goes on. We want the very best for each and every one of you. Please do pray for your lost friends and loved ones. I have, if you pray for Clive and Paddy and Claire and Ollie and Emma at this time, pray for Terence McLaughlin and one other set of neighbours. They're the only people I really haven't met in Maboy Road over the past, well, few years in my travels. So please pray for an opportunity to speak to these souls as well and to be a good neighbour. Amen. Don't forget, I think Kim Jong-un died, or there's rumours of him having passed away after heart surgery. One of the news reports said the surgeon was so worried about doing the surgery right that he did the surgery wrong, and he died. I think he was severely obese, many heart problems due to many health problems due to living a life where he believed that he was God and he could do whatever he likes. But it just shows you when it all comes right down to it, he was only a man. So please do pray for the people in North Korea. Maybe this will be an opportunity for a much more liberal leader in the country to rise. Please do pray for the leaders of all the other countries in the world, especially our own. Pray for Arlene Foster. Pray for Boris Johnson. For President Trump. For, I think it's Premier Putin. President Xi, I think it is. In China and Japan and Australia and Canada and South America and Africa and Europe. I think that covers most of the countries, but most importantly, we are commanded to pray for only one country by name, and that is Israel. Bless the Jews, be good to them, and the Lord promises that he will bless you and be good to you too. I think that's about that. Is there anything else, Mrs. Bradfield? Good job. Don't forget Monica's folks in America. There are many churches that are having difficulty. I pray those that act improperly in ignorance be spared from any consequence. But take care whenever you're out and about. We want to see everybody back here with as few health problems as possible. Amen. All right, we're going to have another wee word of prayer, and then we're going to sing another song. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again. We're not limited, Lord. Come before you four times during the service, and sometimes it just seems like, oh, and by the way, I forgot. But Lord, we don't mean that. We're just so thankful that you're there. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your Son. Thank you, Lord, for your word, for the conviction of the Holy Spirit, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, for the greatest of purposes, Lord, the most noble of jobs, the saving of men's souls. Please do save souls at this time. We pray you, Lord, for missionaries, for those, Lord, that depend upon support in churches to get them their support. We pray you please, Lord, that you would look after these churches and watch over them. Lord, it has been, I am sure, an interesting time, in quotes, would be putting it mildly. We know that you're always there, and we know, Lord, and maybe there's a few learning that with food and raiment, we need to be content because there's no guarantee of entertainment or shelter or indeed anything. Please, Father, I pray you watch over and keep us. Cleanse us and refresh us, especially at this time. Lord, be with Francis Cosgrave and the family. And Lord, for Brother Paul Forrest, for the Christian Institute, for Kids for Schools, for Open Doors, and Lord, the many Christian outreaches that there are, please preserve them and watch over them and keep them. And Lord, for those preachers which just spring to mind right now, I pray for Pastor Hayne and Pastor Asquith, for Julian Patterson, for Johnny Campbell, for Ian Brown, for Johnny Crane, and especially for his sister Sarah as well, Lord. We pray you, Lord, for Stan Cullen and his family and the work in Bangor, for Ed and Joan Bissett, Lord, and for the many men and women that love you and are serving you just the way you want them to. Pray for the Foxes, for the Snodes, for the Smiths, for the Randalls, Lord, for the Mormon family in London, for the Van Boltenbergs over in Scotland, Lord, and the many other men and women, again, even in the UK and in across the world, Lord, that love you and are serving you. And for those Christians in countries, especially in North Korea right now, I pray you for a divine preservation and provision for them, Father. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and bless the rest of the service. Look after and touch those that are sick. Please minister to the Quigley family, Lord, we pray you. And Father, let us not forget, whether we're locked down or whether we're free to go about our business, we're still your children and we're still subject to your wants, your desires, your commands, Lord. We love you and thank you, and we pray all this, Lord, and thank you for the freedom to come before you. We pray it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Now, we are going to sing Living for Jesus. Didn't I say that was going to be our next hymn? 322. 322. Living for Jesus.
Well, it's at this point in the service that we open our Bibles. And today, I'd like for you to open your Bibles at Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And I want to spend a little bit of time this morning on the subject of shortcuts. Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to read the first 21 verses. Genesis chapter 3, three pages in from the start of the Old Testament, and we're beginning at verse number 1. Just had something hit the wall there from, I think it was a tractor outspreading fertilizer. There you go. All right, Genesis chapter 3. The word of God tells us this morning. Now the serpent was more subtle, in other words sneaky, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat. And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he, that is Adam, said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. But Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord make coats of skins, and clothed them. Amen. A wee word of prayer again, and then we're ready to go. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this opportunity to serve, Lord, to read and to preach your word. And I pray, Lord, not just for the souls that hear this, but for me too, Lord, that you would
that you would speak to me as well, that you would give me the words to say, Lord, as I open my mouth, and that you would, Lord, that these words would find a home in somebody's heart, that they would be a help. Just thank you for loving us and pray your good hand upon every preacher that stands up to preach the full counsel of your word. And I pray you, Lord, that your will would be done. We love you and thank you. And we ask this, Lord, as well as for our private prayer requests and petitions. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask it all. Amen.
Amen. We are going to have just a moment or two of Bible study in this portion of God's word, because this, up until the end of Genesis chapter 2, everything was going very, very well. And the phrase, and God saw that it was good, and even very good, appears a lot in the first chapter. So as we open Genesis chapter 3, things start to go wrong. God has just created everything in about 6 days, and he has taken a rest. And Adam and Eve, they are walking in the garden and tending to the Garden of Eden, enjoying the fruits of God's labours, eating the fruits of the tree and the seeds of it, and just enjoying this perfect weather. But most importantly, they're walking and they're talking with the Lord in the cool of the day. Adam has seen God do amazing things, because God has called up from nothing all of the animals of the earth right in front of Adam. I was going to say on the pretense, but just to let Adam see if there was one that would be a help to him, a help that was just right for him. So he called up all the animals and Adam gave them all names. But in the end of it all, there was none found, so God caused a really deep sleep to fall upon Adam, took a rib and formed the woman out of his rib. As many preachers have said, not from his foot to be subjected or under subjugation to him, and not from his forehead to be above him, but from his rib to be from his side. And God has said, you can pretty much do whatever you like, except for this one thing. Don't eat of the Togogi tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's a big mouthful. Togogi sounds pretty good to me. One commandment. One commandment. And even with that one commandment, men start to have problems with it, and the devil seeks to cause man to disobey. As the devil approaches Eve, the weak link, the one who has not seen God create things, but was the very last thing created, he asks her about God's commandment. And first of all, he asks her, what did God say? Did God not say you could eat everything in the garden? And the woman said, yes, he did. Except for that tree in the middle of the garden. He said, we're not to eat of it, and we're not even to touch it, in case we die. And so we find out straight away one of the difficulties in adding on to God's word. The authority ceases to be God and falls to man. That's what happens when man adds on to God's word. The authority has ceased being God's word and has started to be man's word. And then the next ploy of the devil was to, once he saw that the authority for Eve's beliefs laid in her and not in God, he started to question God's word. And he based it upon Eve's feelings, because in verse number 6, Eve saw that it looked nice. And Eve saw that it was probably going to be quite satisfying. And there was a great personal gain to be had in being like God's. So it didn't take too long for the serpent to jump in and to ruin the pot. He was just ready to ruin mankind. And that ruin, that mistake, has been plaguing us ever since. But I am thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent to be the cure to that plague. The end result of it all was that Eve gives it to her husband, who follows her because the loss of his wife was possibly going to be too much for him to bear right now. He hasn't suffered any loss whatsoever. But the next thing you know, they're sowing fig leaves together. And they're hiding themselves whenever they hear God in the garden. And it's not a surprise to God whenever we do things. If it might just occur to you, but nothing has ever occurred to God, he knows. And so God was calling to them, giving them an opportunity to come to him and to get things hashed out, to sort out the consequences and to move on. But you know, Adam and Eve, for the eternity that was built into them whenever they were called up out of the dust, for the incredible memory, because Adam named all the animals, and there's not just 20 or 30 animals. And for the fellowship that they had with God, the close, intimate relationship that they had with God, they'd never suffered loss. They'd never suffered having to face their consequences. And so they did what all little children have done whenever they're accused. Sometimes even dogs do it. They put their heads down and their ears go flat and they look up at you with puppy dog eyes. Little children try and put the blame on to other people. And so Adam says, it was the wife that you made, God. It's your fault. And God turns to the woman and says, well, and she says, it was the serpent that you made, God. It was your fault. And he turns to the serpent, and that's where the buck stops, because the Lord knows. And he calls the serpent cursed. And it's an interesting little fact that at the end of verse number 14, the Lord says, you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And it is only in the past few decades, maybe a bit more than a few decades, but about 1900 years later, after the birth of Christ, about 4,000 years after Adam and Eve walked in the face of the earth, that scientists actually found that snakes actually do eat the dust of the earth. They flick their tongues out, they catch dust particles from the air, and they flip it underneath their chin. There's a little organ called the Jacobson's organ, which is their nose. That's how they detect what's going on around the world. So snakes have been eating dust all the days of their lives ever since they were used to fool Adam and Eve. We know historically the consequences of this original sin. Death and destruction. There was no death until sin entered in, but as soon as they started disobeying God, death did enter in, and such was the power of God that it took them over 900 years to finally die. But regardless of how long you think a life is lived with sin, eventually you will die and there will be consequences to be had. And of all the things that Adam could have passed down, we could have kept his long life. We could have kept his intellect. We could have kept his perfect genome. But oh no, we get the sin nature. I am thankfully glad that even though some of the things that God said to Adam and Eve seemed really, really harsh, they are what we really, really need. It does talk about the ideal family unit, about a woman's desire being to her husband, about, yes, it is, childbirth is painful, but as the Lord said, it is forgotten about afterwards for joy that a man child is born into the world. Her desire shall be to her husband. The husband's desire should be to protect and provide for his family. And the Lord said to Adam, the ground will be cursed for your sake. And that was actually a blessing for Adam because it gave him something to do. I bet you we wish the ground was cursed for our sake now and we had something to do to put in our time. But let me tell you something, friends. Many of you that go out and work in the world, I bet you you're very frustrated, maybe even grinding your teeth at the moment. because you can't. Not only do you have nothing to do with your time, I pray this is not an exception that you're listening to the preaching of the cross. Not only do you have nothing to do with your time, but your pride is damaged. Your value as a human might be called personally into question because you are not out providing for those that depend upon you or even yourself. God said to man, you're going to have to work for a living and it'll keep you out of mischief. Because in the old saying, an idle mind is the devil's workplace and the devil makes work for idle hands. As we read this portion of God's word, it's quite easy to see how the devil works. He makes great promises. I think it's away up in 1 John somewhere where it talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And these are the very things that he tempts Eve with. The lust of the flesh. What does it say? Good for food. It'll fill the belly. It'll satisfy my hunger. The lust of the eyes, it's pleasant to the eye, it looks nice. And the pride of life, having the wisdom of God. That's how the devil got Eve, that's how he's been getting mankind ever since. And it can be a job sometimes, as Paul said, bringing ourselves under subjection, bringing our bodies under subjection. He makes these great promises. And do you know what he said to Eve? Was all absolutely true. If you eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will not surely die. But what he left out was, right away, it'll take a while, but you will die. And that is still the lie that the devil is telling to people today. He's saying you can do whatever you want and just whatever you want to do. That's just what it's all about. It's the foundational credo of the Satanist. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. But do you know what, friends? There are consequences to just doing what you want. And you might not die straight away, but you will die in trespasses and sin. You will die an unrepentant sinner, and then you will suffer torment in hell and be thrown into the lake of fire where the smoke of your torment will ascend up forever and ever, and God doesn't want that. There's always something. I don't know about you, I used to play a lot of video games and always looking for God mode for the cheats. To get all the weapons, to get all the abilities, to be able to fly in the game or jump huge distances, to have an advantage over other players. There's always that desire in us. One of the five I wills of the devil, I think it's in Isaiah 14, says, I will be like the Most High. I can do anything, I will know everything, and I can be everywhere. That's the lie that he's been peddling to mankind for 6,000 years. And sadly, to a greater or lesser extent, all of us feel that way. We want to be better. And if we're not careful, we'll start living that way too. We are always seeking for satisfaction. Sadly, we seek it in physical things many times or in false gods. But the real truth of the matter is that, like so many of us today, we hit the nail on the head and we miss the point completely. We satisfy the lusts of the flesh and the pride of life and the lusts of the eye, and we think that we are okay until that buzz wears off, and then we find out that it wasn't the be all and end all that it made itself out to be. The point is not to be like God, the point is to like God. It's not to have everything we want in order to be contented. It's to be content with God. And he will make sure that we get everything. It does, after all, say in Matthew chapter 5 that the meek will inherit the earth. Sadly, in the lives of many lost souls, all lost souls, in their attempt to gain these things, Adam and Eve lost it all just by disobeying one commandment. And they lost it all in spades. They tried to take the shortcut of all shortcuts. And they got lost spiritually and physically because they got booted out of their home. And they found themselves on their own. Now God did leave a way whereby they could call upon him. But it wasn't the relationship that it once was. It wasn't the relationship of a loving father to a loving and obedient child. It had been tarnished because of their sin. Now, sometimes there are shortcuts to be had in life. Whenever I started working in Desmond's, 32, 33 years ago, I used to drive from Portadown, down the M1, cut right at Ballygolly, go to Oma, and then from Oma to Strabane, and a couple of wee towns in between time, and then up to Derry, and that would take 2 hours. And I did that for a year or two. And then my dad said, why don't you try going through Tobermore? And I said, how do you get to Tobermore? He said, well, go to Belfast. And whenever you come down the Glen Sheen, take a right at as if you were going to Macarrah, and take a right again, and that'll get you into Tobermore, and then you go to Moneymore, and then Cookstown, and then Dungannon, and then you're home. And that shaved about half an hour off of my journey, and about maybe 10 or 15 miles. And I thought, that's a really cool shortcut. And then he said, there's another shortcut. Instead of going the whole way down the Glen Sheen Pass, if you take a right just about three quarters of the way down, you'll shave off another mile or two and that'll take you cross country into Tobermore. And he said, then there's another one. If you go to Stewartstown, instead of going into Cookstown and Dungannon, cut off at Stewartstown. And that'll save you another couple of miles. And so on a good day with little bit of traffic, you could get home in about an hour and 20 minutes instead of 2 hours. There are shortcuts to be had. I am sure there are as many. A baker has found shortcuts for baking their favourite pies and dishes. And chefs have many shortcuts that they have discovered over the years. Even whenever I worked in Desmond's, there used to be a really long, drawn-out process that you really had to have your wits about you for. To go through it step at a time, step at a time. And if you weren't on the ball, that was very tricky. And I remember getting a phone call from a colleague one day, and she was having a really bad day, and I turned up and she was in tears and says, I can't do it today. And I said, look, just go home, I'll cover it. You cover me tomorrow. And I did it. In the end of it all, I remember sitting down thinking, why did I just computerize that whole lot and just make life so much easier for us? And we did that, and we were surrounded by printers, and only two printers ended up doing any work. And I thought, why can't we use those printers? And so I shortcutted that as well. At the end of result, didn't have to have somebody getting paid £25,000 a year plus perks to, and that was, you're talking 25 years ago, to process this all, you could get a warehouse worker in to process it. And the printers just made sure that all of the orders were printed and ready to go in a quarter of the time. There are shortcuts to be had. Does anybody, I've mentioned a fellow by the name of Edgar Cayce. He was an occultist from many years ago. He's dead now and he's found out that he was absolutely wrong. But he was an occultist from many years ago. And he used to be able to, and this was one of my dream desires, put a book under his pillow and go to bed at night and wake up in the morning and know the contents of the book. And I thought, that would be so great! Because I don't know, was I studying GCSE O levels at the time or whatever, but I was at school. And it makes you wonder what books I was reading. But I was at school. And I used to put my textbooks under my pillow at night, and all I got was an uncomfortable night's sleep. You still have to sit and read it. And the old method of repetitive learning is still the best way to learn anything. I am finding that having left hospital, there is no shortcut to getting better. It just takes time. It takes time for the body to recover. It takes time for the body to adjust. And then it takes a horrendous amount of time for to build myself up again. So given time and decent food and regular gentle exercise, but pushing on just a little bit, body will get better. And it doesn't matter how much I want to do, 60 crunches and 50 or 60 push-ups and curls and squats. I just can't do them. I have to work up to it. It's going to take time. And it's going to take patience. It's character building. But it gives me the time to consider that my alternative was to be in a glorified body in heaven talking to Jesus face to face. Hold on, that's really... The alternative is actually better. But I don't want to leave my wife and my job here right now. There's no shortcuts in some things. Has anyone ever heard of a fellow called Simon the Sorcerer in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8? Simon the Sorcerer repented because he used to be a big cheese. People used to think he was a man of God. And then he tried to shortcut his way to the healing gifts. He said, he offered the disciples money and he said, give me this gift of the Holy Spirit that I can do these things too. He was missing, he was feeling the draft. And he wanted to shortcut his way to being a great Christian. And Peter said, thy money perish with thee, that thou thinkest that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou art in the gall of iniquity. In other words, he was jealous and he was feeling what it was like to be just an ordinary person. Now, he asked the disciples to pray that this would not happen to him. And there's not much else said about him. I guess he learned to be an ordinary person, an ordinary Christian follower, an ordinary disciple of Christ. There's just no shortcuts. Another one that springs to mind from the Bible is the maniac of Gadara, the man that used to run through the tombs crying and cutting themselves, maniacs of Gadara, with stones. And they were so fierce that nobody could pass that way. And they couldn't be bound with chains or ropes. They just broke free. These are the things now, of course, that are glorified in our superhero movies. I don't think he started out like that. I think there was a whisper of, if you listen to me, I will give you the fear and respect that you have craved so much your whole life. And the devil again was absolutely spot on with the truth, but he never told the whole truth. And of course we know that he wasn't able to leave the tombs. That people were not just respectful, they were respectful in that they were terrified. And he was on his own. Artists practice and spend years learning to perfect their art. Tradesmen practice the same. Pastors, pilots, doctors, anyone that requires skill for a job or for a calling that they need to or want to do must practice. And it's not just about acquiring information. Because if that's all it was, we could walk around with Google on tap and say, hey Google, how do I? But how do you think it would seem if a heart surgeon in the middle of an operation says, hey Google, which artery do I have to pinch off? Or hey Google, how do I open the rib cage? Hey Google, what am I supposed to do now? Hey Google, am I supposed to wear a mask and a hair covering and a surgical gown? Hey Google, why is it that I wash my hands? There is a reason why everything that's worth having takes time to get. For athletes, for soldiers, there's muscle memory. There's procedures to be followed. And these only come with much repetition. There is a patience that must be tempered through trial and failure and eventually success. And there is achievement and pride to be had in a job well done and reaching greater heights of ability.
There is a Christian character that you just don't acquire overnight.
Galatians chapter 5 tells us some of the things that young Christians most times just don't have, but a seasoned Christian will. Paul said in his letter to the Galatians, he said, these are the things to look out for in a Christian. He said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, self-control. Against such, there is no law. And these things don't come overnight. I remember even in my 20s losing my temper whenever a printer wouldn't work. And I stuck my foot into the front panel on the printer and popped out a plastic panel which I couldn't get in. And whenever I was asked the next day, what's that scuff in the front of the printer for? I said, oh, I must have knocked it with something. It takes time. We need to take time to prove that God is as good as his word in little things before we start to trust him in big things, and have patience to let God work not just in our lives but around and about us. It takes time. There's no shortcut. I was going to say there's no shortcut in being a good Christian. Unless, of course, you end up in eternity as soon as you're saved. And then you're the perfect Christian. But God wants Christians. God wants saved souls. And that means that saved souls need to grow and overcome and be patient and kind and temperate to have power, overcoming power that the world doesn't give. And that only comes by long walks with the Lord God Almighty. For the soul that is saved to become a Christian, it requires that you walk with Christ. If you want to be like Christ, if you want to be a Christian, keep company with Christ. I am sure that Eve, and indeed even Adam, never thought that the walk that they had for the Lord, that they took for granted even in the short while that they were alive, would be gone with the advent of sin in their lives. And it can be the same with saved souls too. Things haven't changed much. Lost souls are still wandering about today. They think they're living, but really they're limping through their lives. They're missing out on that one thing that we were designed to have, a close relationship with God Almighty. One where we spill our whole hearts to him, and one where he spills his whole heart to us. One where we do what he tells us to do, and one that he provisions us as we do it, whether in mind or body. People are missing out on this. Even saved souls can end up walking, but away from the Lord. I know of one such man who had powerful knowledge of the Bible, and he walked away from the Lord because he wanted something that he just couldn't have. And he walked all over the place to try and find it, and no church would give him it. No church would give him the authority to speak, to preach from the pulpit. And he left. And he brought great trouble on his own life and the lives of those that loved him. Do you know what? He took his eye off the Lord for a moment and rested it upon himself. And the devil came in like a flood and washed him away. But I want for you to know, even if that story is familiar in that it is your own this day, that even when there is a flood washing you away, the Lord is there to throw out a lifeline. I think we're singing. Are we singing that? Did we sing that already? We're singing that at the end. The Lord is there not just to throw out a lifeline with a rubber ring. He'll send a lifeboat. He'll even send a helicopter or even a submarine. And all that it requires for you to do is to grab a hold. To let go of that thing that's dragging you down and to grab a hold of that hand. Yeah, you might have to take in the chin a bit of tarnish in your testimony, but you can even use a loss of testimony and a regaining of testimony as part of your testimony. Because there are so many souls out there that are getting half a gospel and are not half strong enough or half well prepared to walk out into the world. But it is up to the saved soul to accept God and his help, his direction, his power. Yes, even his chastening, that means a thick ear or a toe up the backside, and his wisdom for us to do it his way, because for us it's the best way. If Adam and Eve 6,000 odd years ago had obeyed the Lord in the face of temptation, we might have skipped the last 6,000 years of trouble and went straight into the millennial reign of Christ, because that's what it might have been like. But that's just a philosophy or a vain deceit. But Adam sinned and passed it on to us. And I want for you to know, we did read about a number of different things, a number of different characteristics, activities that are in the Christian life. You know, the reading of the Bible, the praying over it, the memorizing of it, the applying of it, listening to preaching and maybe doing a wee bit, turning up at church, tithing, that's always one that separates the sheep from the goats. And showing a bit of patience and natural love and affection, not just for the brethren, but for your fellow man. Being able to take a loss in the chin and commit it to God and just say, well, do you know what, God? I am sure for that loss there is something there that I can learn or gain from you. So I'm going to leave it with you. But there's no one part of the Christian life that is any better or more necessary than any other part. They are all parts of the Christian life, and without them, you don't actually have a full Christian life. But that walk with God, as the Lord said to his disciples, that meat that ye know not of, something that doesn't just help you to live, but helps you to live and walk and talk with the Lord with joy and with overcoming power, with comfort and assurance and peace of mind. These are the things that complete a life. And these things, like the sword of the Spirit, require tempering and sharpening and proving as we go on. We are always looking for a bargain. We are always looking for a shortcut. And yet, with all the money saved and all the time we bank, what do we go and do with it? The end of a life with Christ is an eternity with Christ. And for every soul that's saved, regardless of how good your life is, you are going to spend eternity in heaven with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. If you have repented of your sins, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, that is your eternity. And whether he is, in the words of the song, whether he is ordering us to go and do a thing, and we go and do it and think, yes, Jesus has a job for me, and off I go. Or whether we're just asked to sit or want to sit and listen to him as he reads through the Bible and says, this is what I mean. And he may even lift up the lid on the Bible and show us all the things that were going on behind the scenes, which we as men could not see at that time. I don't know. It's going to be like Church Plus forever and ever. Think of the best service you ever did. Think of a day whenever the finger of God touched you and lifted your soul and put a smile on your face and joy in your heart and added an inch to your step. Think of the day that you were saved. And the whole of eternity with Christ will be better than that. If that's what the eternity of Christ, with the eternity of a Christian is like, walking and talking with God, visiting with him, do you not think it would be a good idea to get a wee bit of practice at it in now? Imagine getting saved and living a life decades long
without ever growing in Christ and getting to heaven and wondering who the fellow with the marks in his hands and his feet are. Because you never did a thing for God. And realizing that your whole life was wasted. I would rather get to heaven and the Lord say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." I'll say, "Lord, this gold and silver and precious stones, they're all yours. Take them. These crowns, Lord, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be able to get them. They're yours. Thank you for everything, Lord. I'm just glad to be here in my glorified body, in the mansion in heaven. I'm just glad to be able to be able to come and go and do all that you ask me to do. I'm just glad that you love me and give your life for me on the cross. I'm glad I took the time to learn about you, because it was the best life." And there's no shortcuts. Do it God's way and find a life that is second to none anywhere, in any occupation, in any country in the world. The life of a soul that is saved, whose name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who's repented of their sins and trusted in Christ as their Saviour. The life of that soul spent walking with Christ in this world is not a wasted life. It is the best of lives. Thank you for your good time, your attention. God bless you. Amen. We are going to take and sing our closing hymn right now. This one is 370, Throw Out the Lifeline.
There is a brother who's on watch his name.
you for your good time. Pray you have a good rest of the week in the Lord. And remember, there's no magic solution. There is a supernatural solution. And that is to be found in the Word of God, in your hands and knees in prayer, in God's presence. We love you. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you, or at least to speaking to you very, very soon. And have a good day. We'll pray and we'll be done. Thank you, Lord, for this little bit of time, for this time in your word, and this time of lifting up of prayers and praises and petitions, all that stuff, Lord. Please see us safely home. Please provision us and protect us. Bring to our attention things that we could be doing, Lord, in this quiet time of our lives. Please preserve our health workers, Lord. Please, Lord, I pray, provision each and every one of them. And those, Lord, that are laboring at their very, very best, I pray for this little bit of divine protection. Lord, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for sending your Son to give his life on the cross for us. And for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. For the good sense to admit that we were wrong. And to believe that you were right and to trust in you as our Savior. Lord, we ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and we pray for our private prayer requests and petitions. And we ask it, you know what? Thank you, Lord, and amen. Folks, God bless you. We will be back in touch on Sunday. Until then, have a good time in Christ. Amen.